Is anyone excited to be in church tonight? Amen. Let's put our hands together.
You are here as we lift you up. You are riding on a breeze, being enthroned over everything. You are seated in the praise.
Simply prophetic, I can feel it in the air. We lift our praise and you change the atmosphere. Hearts open now, everybody's singing out. Oh, turn it up, this sound of praise. Make it louder than any other. Lift him up and shout his name over. Broken chains, prison doors are giving way.
This is prophetic, I can feel it in the air. We lift our praise and you change the atmosphere.
Hearts open now, everybody sing it out.
I am free, turn it up, this sound of praise. Make it louder than any other, lift him up.
Do that tonight.
Your praise goes up, the rain comes down. Your praise goes up, your rain comes down. Our praise goes up, your rain comes down. Our praise goes up.
Celebrate the King of Glory entering.
You are riding on our praise. Oh Lord,
turn it up, this sound of praise. Make it louder than any other. Lift him up and shout his name over
tonight that God fights for us. Anybody here tonight thankful for that? Let's just clap our hands and sing this together.
This God is fighting for us.
worship you. All over this place, let's just lift up our hands. Lord, we thank you that you are here. God, that you are here to meet every single need. God, whatever it is that somebody has come here tonight with, Lord, I believe in the mighty name of Jesus that you will touch them right where they're at, in every single section in this sanctuary. God, I pray that your presence will overwhelm them in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Come on, let's just begin to thank him for what he's going to do here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, victory you have won. Victorious you have come. What was stolen, you brought back to us. Sing that with me again. Oh, victory you have won. Oh, victory you have won. Victorious you have come. What was stolen, you brought back to us. Our champion, you fight for us. You made a way where there was none. Our champion, you're strong in us. The dead we owe, you pay. Long. We'll lift our voice and join the song. 'Cause we were orphans, now forever yours. Forever yours, yes. Our champion, you fight for us. You made a way where there. Strong in us, the debt we owe, you paid in blood. Oh, Jesus, you fight for us. Yes, you do. We worship you, Jesus. Shout it out from the mountain tops that our God is good. He has overcome. Let all the earth, every tribe and tongue, we will sing it out. He has overcome. We will shout. From the mountain. Come on, sing this out. That our God is good. He has overcome all the earth. Every tribe and tongue, we will
As we wait, seek your face. Come and make your throne upon our praise. Here in this place, have your way. The moment that we see you, we are changed. Show us your glory. Your glory in wonder and surrender, we fall down. Show us your glory, show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy ground. It's holy ground. By power, not by might, but only by the cross we come alive. Here we're undone, overcome by heaven's love revealed before us. Here right now, there's healing here right now. Come on, just lift up your hand to receive it here tonight. Oh, and chains fall, fear bow here now. Jesus, you change everything in life. Healed and hope is found here now. Jesus, you change everything and change.
Praise God for a minute. He changes everything. He changes everything. God changes everything. We've all needed things changed in our life, and He's the one who can do it. So come on, let's just praise Him right now and thank Him all over this room, all over this building. The place you are in is a holy place. It's a holy place today that we're here to worship. We're here to get something from the Lord tonight. And if we let Him in, He will do something spectacular. Oh, because Jesus, You change everything, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just praise Him just for a minute longer. Oh, we worship and adore the God of heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, some of the best praise you can give is right from your heart tonight. Not a song, not a lyric, your heart, your voice, your worship. Hallelujah, Jesus, the God of the second, third, and fourth chance. Oh, Jesus, You change it all. Hallelujah. Right where you're at, make a connection with someone near you. Put your hand on their shoulder. If you know them well, you can hold their hand. If they're your spouse, you can hold their hand. Put your arm around them. Just make a connection. Father, we come together as one body tonight, knowing that there might be people here tonight that need a fresh touch from Jesus, that need something spectacular and special to happen. There might be someone who come in here tonight who facing addiction, facing depression, facing all kinds of troubles that they don't know how to get through. But I'm here to say and declare tonight that our God is fighting for us. That our God is making a way where there seems to be no way. That our God has a way, is a way maker. There's nothing you can't do, Father. So I pray for everybody here tonight, whether they're riding high or whether they just slipped their way in, I pray that they will meet Jesus. That this will be a moment, Father, that they remember that, God, You showed up in that February 18th night service that I never forgot. I pray, Lord, that we come in this place one way and we leave this place better. We leave this place more faith-filled. We leave this place with more passion and power than we've ever had before. God, I believe that You are in the miracle business and You've got miracles for people here in this place tonight. Miracles for people here tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him one more time. Jay, thank You, Jesus. Just begin to say, God, I receive that tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we give You all the glory. All the glory. We keep none of it for ourselves. We keep none of it for ourselves, but we give it all to You. You are our strength, our strong tower, and the God in whom we trust. And I pray tonight You'll get a hold of us in a mighty, mighty way. Show us how good You are, Lord. I think you want to do that tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise tonight. Praise the Lord for what He's done and what He's going to do. Thank you, choir. Hallelujah. You can have a seat tonight. So glad you are here worshiping with us tonight. We are grateful to serve a God who still moves. To serve a God who still moves. And I'm so thankful that you're all here tonight. I want to thank everybody who's watching online. Thanks for joining us. It's going to be a great night tonight. And for those of you who are here, thank you for coming. If you're a visitor, you're a special guest. We're so glad that you're here. If this is your first time or you've been here a few times, but you never really did anything as far as filling anything out. There's a form in front of you in the chair in front of you. If you're in the front row, it's behind you. Just reach back. Watch your hands, though. You got that. Yes. There's a form in front of you. It's called the Connect Card. We just ask you to fill that out and pop it in the offering when they come back. And somebody will get in touch with you this week just to see how you are. No problems at all. So if you're a visitor here, please do that. We'd love to get in contact with you. I'm going to ask the ushers to come down right now. You guys can come on down and get ready to take up tonight's tithes and offerings. How many love to give? Praise God. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. That's what I say. And cool thing about our church is our church does stuff. Amen? Our church does stuff. And, you know, when you give to this church, you're giving to something that's alive. You know, you're connected to something. The Bible says in John chapter 14, I believe. Could be another one, but it's John somewhere. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you remain in Me, I'll remain in you. I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about everybody has a place on that vine. You may look to somebody and you may think they have lots of talents or they have lots of things that they can get up in front of people or they can talk to somebody one-on-one, and you may look at that and say, I never can measure up to them. Well, maybe you're not supposed to, because everybody has a place in the vine. My spot in the vine, I'm connected to the same spirit that you're connected to, even though we may do something different. We all have a place. But I'll tell you what, as all of us sow into the vine, we all get strengthened, and we all get power, and we all get might from that. So I want to tell you that no matter where you are tonight, as if you start sowing into God's kingdom, God will start sowing into you, and it will be powerful for you. So be blessed as you give tonight. Father, I thank you that we are all part of this great kingdom of God. All part. We all do different things, but Lord, we're all connected to the same source. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll bless everybody tonight as they give. And Lord, I pray that they will begin to see immediate results, God, from sowing into your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Be blessed as you give tonight. We don't have a special.
No announcement.
I know, I was going to do that. Oh. Yes. This is my wife, everybody. She keeps me in line when I go off. Praise God. Yes, it's kind of the way things are. We got a couple things I want to tell you about real quick before Vinny comes up and gets ready to preach. Vinny Green is going to preach tonight, announcement number one. Come on, son. That's a good one. That's a good one. Any announcement after that just pales in comparison to that. But this coming week on February 20th, Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, we're going to be getting together at Orno Trampoline Park for a Kids on the Move sponsored night. That we're going to be jumping on trampolines. If you have a child in Kids on the Move or whatever, just go see Kelly, something here, and you can sign up there. I'm sure everybody who wants to come has signed up already, but you can talk to her if you haven't. Can't promise you can make it because, you know, there's a certain amount of people that can make it. So if you want to go, you better go talk to her tonight. But it's going to be fun. I'm going to do a front flip. And then you can all watch the ambulance drive by. As I drive, no, I'm going to make it. I'm going to land it. I'm going to flip it, boom, and I'm going to walk off because that's how awesome I am. So you're going to want to come and be a part of that. Next Sunday night, 5 o'clock, next Sunday night in this sanctuary, we're going to have Better Together. It's going to be an incredible time for married couples, for singles who are looking to get married, for anybody in any type of relationship. You're going to want to come to see this because we have the ability to make our relationships last. We have the ability to make our marriages last. Till the end. When we stand at an altar and we say, till death do us part, that's how it should be and that's how it will be in the name of Jesus. And you want to come if you're struggling or you're about to get married or everything's great. You want to come because your marriage is only going to get better because of what happens next Sunday night. And Faith School students, most of you aren't married. You all want to be. I know that. So you better come too because you will not want to miss out on that. All right? It's going to be great. Also, one more thing I want to just mention. I mentioned it this morning. We have this new website thing going on here. It's called our Nucleus. And what that is it's a hub for Charleston Church where you can get connected and plugged in to basically anything. If you want to sign up for stuff or you want to get sermon notes or you want to even sign up, I think, baptisms, there's all kinds of stuff you can sign up for. You go to cchurch11a.info. Now, you may wonder, See Church 11A, that's weird. Well, if you look at our Facebook page and our Instagram and I believe our Snapchat, which we have one of those now, that's all See Church 11A. See Church, Charleston Church, 11A is the route we're on. CChurch11A.info. Put that in your browser. You will come to our Nucleus and you'll be able to sign up for all kinds of great things. Getting sermon notes is the best part of it. But other than that, you can get all kinds of fun stuff. And we're constantly adding to it as we get better at it. So please join us on CChurch 11A. Make that a favorite on your browser, and you won't miss out anything that happens here at this church. Amen? Awesome. Well, I'm going to stop talking, and somebody else is going to start talking. Will you please give it up for our friend, Pastor Vinny Green?
Warm welcome. Thank you so much. Is this on? Okay, I think I've preached like a half a message one time without the mic on, and finally they're just like, stop. But no, it's a privilege to be here with you all tonight. The Spirit of God is here, obviously, and I believe the Lord's given us a word. And I think I also know why a lot of you cheer when I get up to preach, because you know my messages are usually pretty short. And hey, when you have this amount of anointing, you don't need to preach long hours of messages. It's like, man, when you got a word like I've got, 10 minutes, and man, the Lord will do what he needs to do. I know enough. I've learned this about preaching. not to get in the way of what the Lord's doing. You know how I learned that? By getting in the way of what the Lord's doing enough times. And so if I feel like I'm getting in the way, I'm a fallout in the spirit. And Pastor Darcy, I have to come up, take the mic, and dismiss you guys. But I'm going to have a good time in the Holy Spirit tonight, no matter what. And I'm going to be blessed because I know the Lord has a word for us. And I had to share that little caveat because my like opening line, which so happens, I thought there was going to be a song before I got up. My opening line is this: have you ever gotten ripped off before? That's a really horrible line to share right after offering. So I wanted there to be a little buffer. But I'll use it anyway. Have you ever gotten ripped off before? Have you ever had anybody promise you something and they didn't come through on the promise? You know, that one friend that like, hey, can I borrow $20? I promise I'll give it back to you. And you still haven't seen that $20 back. Or what about that one friend, or maybe it's a child, like, hey, let me borrow the truck. I promise nothing bad will happen. And then, yeah, like a big, yeah. Or like Darcy asks, I promise if I borrow the truck, nothing will happen. And then she rips the mirrors off, backing in and out of the garage. Right? Yes. That's from this morning, folks. But if you've ever been like promised something and then they didn't come through with the promise, if that's you, just raise your hand tonight. I don't hope that's every one of us, but I think that could be every single one of us. And so I kind of want to get some common ground right now. And if you're online, I saw that hand go up in the spirit. I know you raised your hand too. But here's the thing that I've learned is that people might not come through with what they promise, but God always does. God always stands on his promise. There's never a time that God will ever promise you something that he won't come through in. So whatever, that's why we need to be in the Word to know his promises, but we also need to be in prayer because God can speak to us, and he will speak to you tonight. He'll speak to you some promises. We need to hear God's promises. And I need to establish that before we go anywhere tonight in the message, that God keeps his promise. If God's kept a promise to you at any point, why don't you lift a hand? If you have a testimony of God giving you a fulfillment to a promise, raise your hand. If you're here tonight and you're awaiting a promise, raise your hand as well. Then you're the right person for tonight. Tonight's message is not for your neighbor. Tonight's message is for you. If you didn't raise your hand, this message is for your neighbor. It's not for you because you didn't raise your hand. But if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. So this morning's message started off in Exodus, and I was like, oh, man. But it was chapter 17, so a different message. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. The Bible says this. It says, when the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. Come on, they said, make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. Now, you're probably familiar with this. At this point, Moses had been on the mountain, Mount Sinai, for about 40 days. And so at about 40 days, the people start to get rambunctious. And so, but the Bible uses the 40 days a couple different times in the Word. The number 40 in the Bible is pretty significant. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the enemy. And so the number 40 in the Bible is very significant. And here are some facts about the number 40 for you. So these are very important. You don't want to miss these important facts about the number 40. 40 is the only number in English whose letters appear in alphabetical order. You're thinking. Think about it later. Minus 40 degrees is the only temperature that's the same in both Fahrenheit and Celsius. Important stuff. You do not want to leave. You might want to write this down. This might win you a competition on Jeopardy or something. There are 40 spaces on the standard board of Monopoly. This is where it gets real deep, right? Ready? It took scientists 40 attempts to create this special formula, mystical formula, WD-40. It stands for water displacement 40th formula. You know why? Because there was 39 ones before it. I wonder what those formulas look like. Well, you know, they probably,
didn't work so well, worked more like glue. And then we've all heard a kind of a form of this one, that it takes 40 days to develop a habit and have a habit for life. You know, 40 days does not seem like a very long time. 40 days is a little bit more than a month. It's not really that much more than a month. But when you're going through a difficulty, when you're going through a temptation, when you're going through a challenge, 40 days can seem like an eternity. 40 days is long enough to backslide. 40 days is long enough to go from being absolutely on fire for Jesus to being absolutely ice cold, questioning your faith. 40 days was long enough for the entire nation of Israel to turn their back on God and start seeking after other gods. And it's not like they didn't know who God was. It's not like they didn't have an encounter with God. If you want, look at Exodus chapter 24, verse 9 through 11. I'll just read it so you don't have to turn there. The Bible says this. See, Israel had encounters with God before this. Israel was God's chosen people. And the Bible says this in chapter 24, verse 9 through 11. Then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu. Somebody say Abihu. And the 70 elders of Israel climbed up the mountain. Somebody say mountain. There they saw God, the God of Israel. Under his feet there seemed to be a surface of brilliant blue sapphire, as clear as the sky itself. Verse 11. And though these nobles of Israel gazed upon God, somebody say God. He did not destroy them. In fact, they ate a covenant meal, eating and drinking in his presence. I'm telling you, this was an incredible experience. This was an encounter with God. I don't know if you've ever had an encounter with God before, but this was an encounter with God. In fact, I believe that this was a Christophany, which is an Old Testament appearance of Christ, because obviously he was in a bodily form, and here he is appearing to 72 of Israel's noblemen, appearing to them and having fellowship, just like Jesus did with the disciples. When I read this, I began to think of like, wow, that's absolutely incredible that the God of the universe in the Old Testament would take some time to sit down with these people. Why did God do that? Because he was trying to plant a seed. He was trying to do something. And he was trying to instill some things in them. And imagine for a moment what they talked about on that mountain. They were just eating and they were just hanging out. Imagine what God was talking to them about. I can imagine God was just reminding them of the promise. I imagine that Jesus was just reminding them of what it was promised to them earlier on in the Bible. I think that Jesus was just telling them about their future. See, I believe the way that God speaks to me, I believe Jesus was kind of giving them hints about their future, about what was about to take place. And so all of these people were getting filled up in the presence of God. I feel so strongly, and it's been a conviction of mine for about a year or more now, like, I've always believed in it since I've been a believer, the importance of God's presence. But now more than ever, I believe it's so important that we get into the presence of God. Look, we need each other. We need to be in the presence of each other. But that does not substitute it being in the presence of God. We need to find ourselves hid away in a prayer closet in some time, just spending with the Lord, you and him, and nobody else, but just you and him, and having some encounters with the Holy Spirit. See, that's the blessing, that's the benefit about being a Spirit-filled Christian, is that you know that this is the type of relationship that God wants with you. God doesn't want to just speak to you at church. God doesn't want to just meet with you when you're in a church service, on a Sunday night when you're around a bunch of people and having awesome worship time. Yes, God, that's easy for God to spend time with you in that moment. It's easy to feel God's presence in that moment. But what about when you're all alone and nobody's looking? That's when it counts. When we can start to have incredible encounters with God when nobody's looking, I believe that if more of us get to that point, look, there's no... Maybe you're in here tonight and you're thinking like, well, I really don't have those moments. And maybe you're believing the lie that you're not built for those moments. That, well, that's for some people, that's not for me. That's a lie straight out of the pit of hell. Because the enemy has a plan and a purpose for your life, and that is to keep you from the presence of God. And if you can tap into the presence of God, nothing is impossible for you. But for somebody say 40 days. 40 days from this moment right here that I just shared with you, Israel completely backslides. They go, all of Israel, they go to Aaron and they start asking, hey, make us a golden calf. Make us some gods that we can worship. How do you go from having an encounter with God like that on the mountain to just 40 days later wanting to worship idols? I'll tell you why. Thank you for asking. They lost focus. Before we get too judgmental on them, we need to be careful because we can lose focus too. They lost focus. Verse 1, the second part of it, B, says this. It says, we don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us up here from the land of Egypt. See, they had their focus on the man Moses. Their focus wasn't on the promise of God like it should have been. Their focus was on the man. Their focus was on the natural instead of being on the promise. And so that's something for you and I to make sure that we always remember. Not to get your eyes focused on people or places or things, but keep your eyes focused on the promise. See, they should have just kept so close to the promise of God that it never would have been an issue. And it wasn't Moses who brought them out of Egypt. But when you get your focus off of God and onto other things that are not God, you begin to give credit to things that God should get credit for. And so when those things that God should have credit for start to fail you, like a person, guess what? Now what God did doesn't seem that miraculous anymore. And so now the value of the thing that God did in your life gets less and less. And the value of other things become more and more. And before you know it, the things of God that should have this type of priority in your life have this type of priority in your life. And 40 days later, and we're all wondering, like, how did I go from having an incredible experience in a fast to just a month later feeling like a complete heathen? Now, you look good on the outside. And this is for anybody online, nobody in the audience today. Just kidding, people online, wherever you are. Just a few days. You know, I just had an incredible experience fasting and praying, and now I don't even read my Bible. Well, it's not so much that you're an undisciplined person. It's not so much that you're a horrible Christian. It's not so much that any of these things. You want to know the reality? It's just that you've lost your focus. See, when we fast and pray, when we deny our flesh, it's easy to keep our focus. It's easy to focus on God. You know, typically, I'll be honest with you. Typically, every single day that I wake up, I don't have like this hunger and desire to read the Word, just like this insatiable appetite. Like, man, I just can't wait. And then when I get to work, I'm not thinking like, I can't wait to get home so I can just get in the Word. But you know what? When I fast, I do feel those things. When I fast, I desire the Word of God. When I fast, I'll wake up in the morning. And when I know I'm fasting the way that God has called me and wants me to fast, I'll desire the Word of God and I'll be hungry for it. Why? Because of my focus. My focus is on the promise. My focus is on God Himself. Amen. Why do we lose our focus so easily? I think we lose our focus so easily because there's difficulties. There's challenges. There's things that you and I face that some of them, not everything that we're talking about here is even sinful. I think sometimes we automatically think like sinful things. Listen, life happens. We can be consistent. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can have blessing. We can be victorious. But that doesn't change the world around us because the world is decrepit and the world is failing. And so as these things happen, difficulties come. Challenges come. And so it's not uncommon for a believer like you and me to have a day or a week or maybe a month and hopefully not an entire year, but it does happen sometimes. That's just difficult. And so maybe you've had a week, day, or month, or year that's kind of felt or looked a little bit like this, if the PowerPoint is working. That's actually Eric Keppel when he was a kid. Yeah, he was really strong back then. I'm not sure what happened. But some people, the way they're feeling or thinking right now might seem like this right here. Or if that doesn't do it for you, check the next one. That one. You ever wake up in the morning and then every problem that you have going on for the entire like week or year just is right in front of you? And you're trying to pray. You're trying to sit down and pray. You're trying to get into the Word. You even pour yourself a cup of coffee because that just might help you. But all the problems in the world are just right there for you to think about. You ever run into that? Okay, maybe that one's not you. Next one. Sometimes life just gets you like that. Sometimes it just hits you. It comes out of nowhere at all. You can't help it sometimes. Like, there are other people in the world. I'm sure some people that drive on the same roads that I drive on are like, yep, that's not a good driver. Like, other people do things that you can't control. I hate to break that to any control freaks here. But we can't control others. We can't control what they do, how they talk, we can control how they affect us by our perspective and our focus, but we can't control what they do. And if that doesn't hit, next one, this one will definitely, between a rock and a hard place. Sometimes we find ourselves here. And look, I don't care if you pray in tongues every day. I don't care how spirit-filled you are or how spirit-filled you think you are. There are times when the enemy tries to corner you or move you into a place of a rock and a hard place. You can do right all the time, and the enemy's still going to try to get you. The world, the devil, or our flesh, one of these three is going to work on us to get us stuck between a rock and a hard place. I got one more for you, this one right here. And this is more for Kelsey. That's actually that's a legitimate picture of Kelsey this morning before church. No, just kidding. But who just looks at that picture and just feels like overwhelmed? Anybody that's ever shoveled this winter? I'm telling you, you can't control the storms. But you can control how you react to them. And it's about focus. Now, I want you all to just picture that mountain of snow right there. And imagine that you have to dig a hole, like a 6-foot wide trench right through that. That's a lot. In fact, actually just say, you know what? That whole snowbank just has to be removed out of there. Okay? Now, picture me telling you, once you do that, I'm going to give you $1 million. The UMaine is actually doing this big, huge study, and they're trying to figure out, like, do these different studies. And this one study is to see the effects of snow shoveling on a man or a woman. And the offer for that is, if you participate, you're going to win $1 million. Who now doesn't think that snowbank looks that big? See what just happened right there? Focus. Your perspective changed. And that's what the promises of God is. Right there. The promises of God help you change your perspective. It helps change your focus. It helps you look at the mountain and realize that, wait a second, that's only 2 inches tall compared to what God's put in me to be able to do. And so that's what we have to have in the Spirit, and this is why we need to rely on God's promises. Can somebody say amen? I love the Word of God, and I just love how God really shows us this just challenge that the nation of Israel has. You can switch from that slide now. I don't want people to feel overwhelmed anymore. Pressure's off. In Israel, they were just up and then they were down, and they were up and they were down, and they were professional backsliders, and they were really good at repenting and then backsliding again. And so we know that. And why is it, though, that they got so far off? Why did they lose their focus so quickly? How did they do it with such a great promise? What is the promise? Like, sometimes when we talk about the promises of God and we deal with this realm of things, it's very vague sometimes. It's not, like, personalized. And so I like to ask, well, what promise? Like, or what promise is? There's so much in the Word of God, and it's, like, there's not a book in the Bible that says these are all the promises in the Bible. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And so you got to dig for some of them. And you got to go after for some of them. You got to get in the Word for some of them. And you got to get on your knees and pray to God for some of them. And you've got to talk to other people, some spirit-filled people, and allow them to inspire you for some of them. And it's actually a little bit of work. I hate to say it to you, but you got to discover these gems. There's gems in the Bible. We call them gems. I call them promises. And so what is the promise that Israel missed out on? It's found in Genesis chapter 8, 28, verse 15. It says, "What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I finish giving you everything I have promised you. What's crazy about this is this promise that God promised them, they were right in the midst of actually receiving. They were in the process of receiving this promise when they turned their back on God. Because why? The process sometimes takes a little work. The process brings difficulties. The process brings challenges. But you ask anybody that has won a gold medal or won a championship or has done anything and been successful, though it was difficult, the journey was challenging, I guarantee you every one of them will say it was worth it. It was worth, why? Because of the goal. The Apostle Paul, what does he say? Not that I've already achieved, but I press on to the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. So there's something that you and I have to go after, and it's not just heaven. Heaven is a big motivator, but it's not the only thing. It's not the only thing. There's difficulties. Like if you wake up one day and your job is gone, like that's pretty messed up. That actually happened in Maine not too long ago. I think a prison in Maine, am I right? Like there was a prison in Maine, a bunch of employees went to the prison one day and boom, they didn't have a job anymore. It was gone. Now, could they control that? No, they couldn't. But what do I know? The Bible says this. The promise of the word is this. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. And so if that ever happens, we can stand on God's promises and understand, well, if I lose one job, guess what? That means God has a better one for me. Unless you steal money from that company or you do like different things like, you know, punch your employee in the nose. Like, okay, there's a consequence for that. Like, that's not good. Get punched an employee in the nose, okay. Unless you can prove it was self-defense. Then okay. But you know what's awesome about that? Say you did mess up at your place of work. Say you did fail. Say you messed up. Maybe you slipped up. I'm trying to think of like different like jobs that there might be that you could mess up with. Like, anything. Like you're a Major League Baseball player and you strike out every single time at bat. Guess what? God's promises for you are still the same. Well, what if it was a mistake at work that another employee did? Maybe another employee misplaced something. And maybe you got blamed for it. And maybe you took the heat for it. And all of a sudden now it's all coming on you and it's your responsibility. And now you get fired because of it. What are you going to do? Stand on his promises. Get away from the noise. Get away from all of the everything going on and just get alone with God. And start asking, Lord, what do I need to do? This is really quite amazing. And actually, Gordon and your son, you're going to be used twice today. Come on up here. Hey, give it a hand for these guys right here. Come right up here behind me. See, I think we all understand losing focus. But there's another thing that I think that really messed Israel up. And this is what messed Israel up. They lacked patience. Because really, yes, if you're in a trial, 40 days is a long time, but really it's not. 40 days is not a long time, especially when you've had the encounters that Israel has had. And so what happened is they lost focus, or lost patience. Exodus 32, 1, we're still in that one verse. The Bible says this. When the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron, and they said, come on, they said, make us some gods which will lead us. They said, where is this guy? He's been up there far too long. And so they begin to lose patience. Have you ever lost patience before? Like, if you're a parent, you've lost patience before. Come on. Like, I can lose patience pretty quick. Like, one thing that my children have taught me, that I can lack patience sometimes. I can, the first time, I can be very patient. Okay, Adley, it's time to eat your pizza. I can say it all in a nice, calm voice. And sometimes she'll just go, hmm. Like, she's not hungry. She doesn't want to eat the pizza. And so I can say it a second time. Okay, come on, Adley, please eat your pizza. And then she's like, well, I'm full. I'm like, Adley, you haven't eaten anything yet. And then all of a sudden, I'm just getting like lack of patience. We've all been there. And I pray that we don't quit too soon. I hope and pray that we don't quit an hour too soon. I hope and pray that we don't quit a week short on our blessing. I hope that we don't quit an hour short on our blessing. I hope to God, maybe you need a healing in your body. Maybe you need a financial breakthrough. I hope and pray that you don't quit on God a second too short, because the reality of God's promises, if you keep God's promises in the forefront of your mind, you will keep on going. But it's not just about holding on to the promises and being patient. We need to be patient with expectation. I read a really interesting... Are you guys ready? Okay. I read a really interesting passage of scripture in the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations isn't really known for like inspiration a lot of times. If you're feeling too happy, just read Lamentations a couple times. If you just got too much joy in you, read Lamentations. But Lamentations 3:25 says this, and it's the Amplified version, and so don't even look it up until you get home. But it says this. It says, "The Lord is good to those who wait hopefully and expectantly for him, to those who seek him." Did you hear that? Did you hear the promise in that? The Lord is good. So everybody wants to say that the Lord is good. But there's an expectation that has to take place before the Lord can be good to you. Are there exemptions? Are there exceptions to this rule? Maybe. I've seen God be good to people that, you know, you wouldn't think, like, well, that didn't make any sense. But there, I want you to hear this. I want to read this again because it's so important. The Lord is good. Somebody say, the Lord is good. And we have great songs. We sing about this all the time. The Lord is good to those who wait hopefully and expectantly for him. How expectant are you? The promise that God has given to you that you have not yet received, how much expectation do you have inside of you right now that that's going to come to pass? If you have a little bit, I hope by the end of tonight that you have a lot. If you have none at all, I hope that you have some. Because that's where, see, the Lord is good in the right atmosphere. Okay, Lord is good all the time. Yes, all the time the Lord is good. However, if you're struggling, if you're dealing with difficulties, check your attitude. Check your expectation. Look inward first. Don't blame outward first. Don't blame the church. Don't blame the people. Don't blame the work. Don't blame the boss. Start looking inwardly and start thinking, okay, where is there doubt? Where am I doubting this? Where am I missing it? And then you know what you can do? You can just begin to just start talking to the Lord. If you haven't guessed yet, there's kind of a theme. Like, you know, once you get the realization that you need to have God's promises, you need to take it to the Lord. You need to go to the Lord. And so, yeah, I'll read this. I'll read that after I do this here, because I don't want them to have to stand up here all night. But it helps me. So Israel is constantly having great encounters from God and then just slipping up, messing up, and missing out on the promises of God. Missing out on a temporary promise. And so yeah, they didn't have to travel 40 years in the wilderness. They could have just went straight away right to the thing, but they complained and they had issues. And so that promise was delayed. A promise can get delayed. A promise can get delayed. But this is what happens. So all of Israel, you've got to see this, because Darcy said it this morning, one. Somebody say one. An entire nation of Israel is complaining and they're wanting to serve idols. Stick with me just for a few minutes here. And then Moses hears about it. And it's funny how Moses hears about it, because God says, your people down there, he's like, they're messing up and I'm sick of it. I'm going to destroy them. Like, they're done. I'm done with them. And this is what Moses did, and this is what you and I need to do. We need to throw God's promises in his face. We need to remind God of his promises. If God has promised you something, you need to remind him of the promise. Moses says this in verse 13. He says, remember Abraham. Somebody say Abraham. Abraham. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore. And I love how it's like capitalized. You swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. See what's going on right now. God's like, listen, I'm just going to take you, Moses. I'm going to fulfill my purpose and my plan, my promise in you. But Moses reminded God about the promise that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in verse 14 it says, so the Lord relented from him harming them. And so Moses comes boldly to God and just throws the promises, reminds God of the promises that he had promised Israel. And God just quickly says, okay then, I'm not gonna harm them. Gonna move this. Oh man, I almost just dropped that right on your foot pedal thing, Paul. Whatever that is. Foot pedal thing. So this is kind of, when we get saved, I want you to go arm in arm with your son like that. You're God, and you're not. you're the brand new believer. He just heard the gospel about the great things of God, about what Jesus has done for him. And he gladly accepted Christ. He gladly accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And this is what happens when we get saved. We lock arm in arm with God. We begin to walk with God. So why don't you just kind of walk back and forth here with God, your son. See, God is our Father, and when we come to Christ, all of a sudden now, there's promises and there's things available to us that was not available to us before we made the confession, before we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. So now we're walking arm in arm with God. But some time goes by. You start to learn the Bible. You get comfortable in church. And listen, I'm not saying this is how it has to be, and I'm not saying this is how it's supposed to be. I'm just saying this is how it is sometimes. What ends up happening is, you keep walking, and distractions just start to kind of, you know, now walk beside him, just behind him, but don't touch him and be kind of close. See, as we begin to, then we follow God, but we're really not connected to God. Especially, like, if we don't get discipled, if we don't get trained up, if we don't learn what the promises of God are for our lives, if we don't begin to have that downloaded into us, like, we're still saved, we believe in Jesus, but there's a little bit of a separation. We're walking with God. But then another challenge comes. And so a speed bump comes and gets in the way a little bit. And it hinders you a little. But you have faith. You believe in God. And so that hindrance only hinders you for a little bit. And then you can go follow God again. But see, it grows a little further and further apart. And this is kind of what happened with Israel a little bit. But this is really what happens with a lot of believers when they don't know the promises of God. And so another issue comes and it drives far, far. And depending on the roots that you have, if you don't have good roots at all, you're just going to go. If you have a little bit of roots, then the gap will just keep growing and growing and growing until maybe you come to a church service like this. Or like any church service that we have here at Charleston Church. And God just wants to speak to you and tell you to get woke. All right, my people, Christian, wake up. It was like a modern term that we were throwing around the other day, and it was really fun. And see, nobody understood it, Christian. Like, we need to wake up to the reality that we have to stand on God's promises.
Amen. 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 This is a truth that we need to hear over and over. Because just like Israel, they had such an incredible encounter with God. As some of you have had incredible encounters with God. And if we're not careful, we'll constantly hang our hat on that past experience. And when we hang our hat on that past experience, God's promises are ahead of us. They're not behind us. Those are testimonies. You know, a fulfilled promise is a testimony.
But the promises are ahead, and so if you're always hanging your hat on what was or what did happen, then you're going to miss the promises of the future. And when that happens, it doesn't matter how spiritual you are right now, but if that happens, if you constantly hang your hat on what was past, the distance is going to grow. And the scary thing is, you might just know enough scripture, and you might just know enough Christian lingo to look okay. So what do we do if we're in this situation right here? What do we do if there's a gap? We need to do what Moses did. If you're here tonight, or maybe you're online, or maybe at some point you watch this message, what do you do when it's this far apart? I believe in my spirit what you need to do is come to a place where you just start declaring God's promises. What the Bible says this. It's the same promise that he gave to Israel in Genesis chapter 28. It says, you will never leave me or forsake me. When you start declaring that, stay right there, God. When you start, you will never leave me or forsake me. And it doesn't matter how far you feel like you're away from God. You start declaring and saying to God his promises. Lord God, you said in your word that you'd never leave me or forsake me. And that brings you a step closer. If you're not immediately close, just say it again. Keep on declaring it. Keep on saying, God, your word says you'd never leave me or forsake me. And you take a step closer and a step closer. And what ends up happening when you, see, when you have a lifestyle and you know how to stand. Somebody say stand.
Stand.
On the promises of God, when you stand on the promises of God, the promises of God will help you stand even when you don't think that you can. When you get in the battle of your life, this is what happens right here. And you can walk closer to God, start declaring the but sometimes even when you're connected to God, the battles can come. And if I had a stick, I'd actually use it, but that wouldn't be good. Battles come and they hit us. They come at us. And listen, I don't want anybody here to leave feeling condemned. I want you to leave knowing that you're liberated, knowing that you're free, knowing that you have the promises of God to stand on. And it's the promises of God that will help you stand. And so when we declare the promises of God, can this happen? You think this can do it? All right, let's do it. Well, we declare the promises of God. You will never leave me or forsake me. God has a way of lifting us up out of the situation that we're in. Get on his shoulders. God has a way of elevating us up. See, a lot of times we're too busy trying to fight down here and fight the battle when what God needs for us to do and wants to do for us is to elevate us up above the battle. Because, listen, God wants to fight our battles. Tiana, if you'd come up. God wants to fight our battles. He doesn't want us to constantly be fighting our own battles, constantly over and over and over. If you are in here tonight and there's a battle that you fight and it seems to be the same one over and over and over, it's because you're fighting it. And you're not positioning yourself to overcome it. You're taking it on yourself. You're doing a good job. You're a good fighter. You're a good fighter. But you're not as good of a fighter as God is. Because the enemy dwells down here. You know, the enemy dwells down here. The enemy's low. The enemy doesn't dwell up high. The enemy dwells down low. And so all of the battles that we face are down low. But if we can get connected to God, listen, you can be a spirit-filled Christian, but I'm telling you, if you start declaring the promises of God, there's a way that it elevates you up above the problem, above the situation, and things begin to happen in the spirit. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Awesome. Give a hand for them. Declaring the promises of God. You know, there is the power of life and death is in our tongue. There's so many promises in the Word that God gives us that's meant to be spoken out and said out loud and declared. And I believe that it's so important that you and I, we begin to declare the promises. And so you're one of two people here tonight. You're either someone that, you know, you've been victorious. Okay. Some of the promises that you needed are your testimony. If you're saved tonight, the promise of salvation is your testimony. You've been saved. But every one of us here tonight has something that God has you going toward. I hit it, didn't I? Nice. Every one of us here tonight have something that, and if you don't, this is a promise from the Lord.
He promises to have a purpose and a plan for your life. His promise is that you are useful to the body of Christ. You are useful to the kingdom of God. And I just want to say that. And so there's people that have all kinds of different needs. Maybe you have a financial need tonight. Maybe you have a marital need tonight. But tonight, if everybody would just stand up. It's nice and early. Praise the Lord. You know, one promise that I just am always reminded of over and over and over. The promise in the Word of God about by His stripes we are healed. And another scripture, which actually I had no idea why it came to me until right at this moment, but another scripture where two or three are gathered together, there am I also. And I wasn't even sure like how that even mixed until this moment right now. Because there's some people in here tonight that you need a physical touch from God. You need a healing. Some people, maybe you got some struggles emotionally, maybe depression, anxiety. There's some things that God needs to touch, and there's a promise for that. But then there's a group of you here tonight that you're healthy. You're living in health. And maybe supernatural health. And so sometimes we come into this altar time and like, well, that doesn't apply to me because, well, I got what I need. Well, you're wrong because where two or three are gathered together, there am I also. And so those of you who have been touched and healed by God or you're here and you have health, you have what the person that needs a touch has. And what we need to do is we need to lay hands on them and we need to pray with one another and encounter God together. You know, it's amazing that, yes, Moses went up to the top of the mountain alone with God. But I find it so interesting. Why did God initially call the 70 to himself with Aaron and Abihu? Like, why was that the case? Because God is a personal God, a one-on-one God. But he's also a God of a group. And listen, we're not friends. We're family. This is something the Lord has just been really dealing with my heart, is that what's the difference between friends and family? A friend, if you do something I don't like, I could just get rid of you. I don't have to be your friend anymore. And I'm afraid Christians treat each other like that too much. Way too often. Oh, well, you said something I don't like. Well, I'm not your friend anymore. And then, but see, family can't do that. My brother and I, Billy, we got into some serious fights, serious altercations. I hurt his feelings and his body. I've hurt him, and he's hurt me. Our heads have gone through sheetrock walls. Like, there's been throwdowns right in the middle of downtown Dexter. Little old ladies watching us fight. This is my past. This wasn't yesterday. But you know what? At no point did he ever stop being my brother. At no point did he ever stop being my brother. And part of the promise of God is the promise of the body of Christ. And so now when I think of that scripture, where two or three are gathered together, there am I also. God, it's not that God needs you, because... But we need God. God doesn't need you to do a miracle, but God wants you to do a miracle. God could do anything, but God, because of the way he said it, because of the way his promises work, because of what he declared in the word, he wants us to gather together at an altar when there's hurting people. Maybe you're here tonight and you did get laid off, or there's a difficulty, or you have an issue in your body. Look, I like to reference church as kind of like Planet Fitness, judgment-free zone. But that might be false advertising if you go to the wrong church. It's such a difficult job. It's such a difficult task sometimes to move your feet from your seat to go to an altar when you have a desperate need. Even when you have a desperate need. Like, there's all these eyes and there's all these people looking. Well, listen, here's the reality of it. There may be anxiety or you may be scared to come to an altar like this because you're worried about... what other people think. You know what other people are thinking? Man, I wish I had the same courage that person just had to go down there. Or they're thinking, oh, that's awesome. God is going to do something for them. They're thinking, wow, that's great. I'm so glad that they came here tonight and that they're coming to... People don't sit there and think judgmentally like, well, what are they going down there for? That's not how... I used to think that. I used to not answer altar calls because I was afraid of what people might think. But you know what that was doing for me? Nothing, literally. Like nothing was happening because I wasn't responding. And that was why is that so important? Why do I have to respond sometimes? Because God, what's the most important thing to God when it comes to us? Obedience. Sometimes the altar is such a perfect opportunity to show God that you mean business. It's an opportunity. And so this is what I believe, because it's a promise in the Word, not because I'm saying it, but because it's a promise in the Word. By His stripes we are healed. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Okay? Those are promises in the Word of God. And so tonight, if you need to be set free, if you need a healing in your body, you have any need at all, I strongly suggest you come to this altar right now. Come to this altar right now. If that's you, if you have a need of any kind, come to this altar. I used to get scared, like if I gave an altar and nobody came, but now I don't care because I know that I'm giving an altar and it applies to people. It's just up to them or not whether they come. So it's not on me. It's on them. Anybody have a need at all? Praise God. And line up right across. This is kind of how we do it here. Pastors taught us well. Line up shoulder to shoulder so that you're not behind anybody at all. Awesome. There you go. I'll wait a couple more. And there's any need at all. Any need whatsoever. Get shoulder to shoulder. And so this is what's going to happen. I'm going to call the rest of you down to pray for them. And then I'm going to put the mic up and we're just going to worship. And what's going to happen is we're going to pray at this altar for these people right here. And maybe you're in your seat and you just hesitated to come down. I'm not going to say whether you're disobedient, obedient. Look, if at some point the Lord speaks to your heart and you want to come down and get prayed for during the worship time at the end here, come on down. The Lord can touch you. The Lord will meet you here. Because it's His promise. And so after I invite you down to come pray, I want every person at this altar to be being prayed for. I don't want one person here tonight without somebody, actually, without at least two people praying for them tonight. And after I call you down, I'm going to put the mic away. We're just going to worship. If you want to stay and you just want to worship God for a bit, stay. If you don't want to and you got things you got to go do them. But no guilt whatsoever. But God is going to do something miraculous tonight. And the people that responded to this altar, God's going to do something absolutely miraculous, absolutely phenomenal. And so right now, everybody that can, come behind these people. And get ready to pray. Get ready to pray. Get ready to pray. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. As you're coming down, every person should be being prayed for. You know what I loved about Moses was Moses was bold. Moses was not timid. Moses was not Moses was not limp-wristed in his approach. Moses was bold, and Moses came and he declared to God his own promise. And so I don't want us to come, and I don't want us to be like somber. I don't want us to look sad. I don't want us to be, downcast. I want us to come boldly before God right now. There's an anointing on you to pray for the people that are being prayed for. And I want you to come boldly. I want to hear you praying. I believe we need to storm heaven. When Moses was praying and talking to God, he was not talking in a soft voice. He wasn't just being polite. In fact, it really kind of sounded like he was being rude, because he was declaring something that he knew was his, because it was in God's word. And so I want us to come boldly before God. And I want us to declare and pray and seek the Lord right now. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. If you're not at this altar, maybe you're sitting down at your seat, maybe you're in the back. I want us to just lift our hands and worship right now. Hey, I get it. Not every single altar call that there's ever given do I feel the need to either pray for people at the altar. Maybe I should. I might need to have a little help with that. But sometimes I do just have the urge and the sense to just sit at my seat or stand at my seat. If that's you, I'm just going to assume that God just wants you to worship Him.
So if you're at your seat tonight, why don't you just lift a hand to heaven and begin to worship God. And in your own words, just begin to worship Him right now. Before a single song is sung, just begin to worship Him. See, God inhabits the praise of His people. God inhabits our praise. God is there. So begin to praise. Be praise warriors tonight. Begin to praise the Lord. Begin to worship Him tonight. Praise you, Lord. Worship changes an atmosphere or accelerates an atmosphere. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Come on. Worship Him, worship Him, worship Him. Worship Him tonight. Worship Him tonight.